Blog Talk Radio.
To the Heart of Love radio show coming to you live from the D.C. Baltimore area. And you're in for a treat today. I have none other than Pastor Bonnie Johnson. She's definitely a woman of God, and she's definitely someone I know who's touched my life, and I'm sure your life will be touched as well. So you guys, hold on for me for a second. So Pastor Bonnie?
Yes.
Yeah. I just want to say welcome to the radio show, and it's definitely an honor to have you on the show today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on
can
the show.
Can you hear me, Pastor Bonnie?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hey.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. It's so great to have you on the show today.
Yeah, it seems like we're having a little difficulty. I can hear you. I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay, and I just want to say it's just a blessing to have you on the show today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be on the show. It's a lot of people out there that need to be reached today, and I think that maybe something we talk about might be able to help them.
Definitely. I was just telling them that you're definitely, I know, because I've seen you in ministry, you know, you're definitely a woman of God, and I'm looking forward to what you're going to talk about today. I just wanted to know if you could tell the guests a little bit about yourself and your ministry.
Well, you know, we moved from Atlanta. We lived in Atlanta for 30 years. And then we moved back to California. Originally, we were from California, and we lived here for a few years. But then we moved to Atlanta to help my husband's brother start a church. And we stayed in ministry there for 30 years. And we had, like, several congregations. We had a Saturday night service. Then we had a Sunday service. We started off with three services, a Sunday with two services, and then a Saturday night for the more radical and people that like to stay on the cutting edge.
Right. Yes. Yes. I was a member of that particular part of the church. You guys definitely were radical, you and Pastor David.
Yeah, we try to stay up to the now time. You know, things are changing, and you just can't reach people the way that they used to. God is always changing, and we have to change with him.
Right, right. And right now you guys have, you started a new ministry in California, correct?
Yeah, we're in California now. We've been here for 5 years. And we started a church called Restoration Church. And it's a growing church. We have a really good group of people.
Well, that sounds great. That sounds great. I know you guys are definitely encouraging and helping to change lives out there.
Yeah, it's really interesting starting from scratch. You know, we were used to a pretty good sized church in Atlanta, and then we had to come here and start all over from the, you know, no congregation, no musicians. So that's really different.
Right. So has that left a lot of room for you? I guess are you doing the music?
We are doing music. Right now we're using soundtracks. We're still looking for some good musicians. But we haven't found any yet because we really want to go into the worship of the Lord. You know, my husband's a wonderful praise and worship leader, but we have to, we like to go into that true place where we can just feel like God is there and we can just take a knife and slice a piece of heaven and take it with us.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm definitely excited. And today, you know, I had your sister-in-law on last week. And that was so, it was so great to have Sister Alicia Johnson on the show last weekend. And you know, I'm just excited about what God is doing, and I'm just excited to, and honored to have you on the show.
Yeah, she's a great person. She's a good teacher. She's an excellent teacher. So she's my sister-in-law, but I really admire her for the way that the Lord has blessed her as well.
Yeah, and today I'm glad for the discussion that we're going to talk about today and what God has laid on your heart.
Yeah, it's really something that's really dear to me, and I think that's one of the reasons we call our church Restoration Church, because there's so many people out there that have really been hurt by the church, including people in the church, pastors' wives and pastors' children and leadership. It's a lot of people that have been hurt. Mm. So that's a subject that's real dear to my heart.
Right. So what I'm going to do right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a song, let you get your thoughts together, and then I'm going to turn everything over to you.
Okay, thanks.
How does that sound? I'm going to be here with you, okay?
Okay.
You guys are listening to the Heart Love Radio Show. This is G. Wright, and we're going to listen to Israel's Again I Say Rejoice. And the next voice you're going to hear is none other than Pastor Bonnie Johnson.
Rejoice.
guys enjoyed that. This is G Wright, and you're listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show. The number here is 646-595-4311. And whenever you want to join in, whenever you want to, if you have a question, just make sure you, when you call in, you press 1. I'll bring you online, and Pastor Bonnie and I will talk with you. Pastor Bonnie?
Yes.
You know, I love you so much. But I'm not going to do like that. I'm not going to throw you to the wolves, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Well, I think that the name, the fact that, you and your husband, Pastor David Johnson, came up with the name for the church, Restoration.
Yes.
You know, it's so, I feel like God is just, in this season, desiring to restore his people and to bring restoration to people who've been hurt. Because, you know, there are a lot of people who've been hurt.
Right. And, you know, there's a scripture that says, the Lord our healer is Jehovah Rophi. You know, and we can always say that when we're always quoting scripture or we're quoting the different names for the Lord. But we don't always apply it to ourselves when we've been hurt, especially if we've been hurt by the church. We don't look to God to put us back together and help us to get ahead.
Hmm. You know, that's so true. When you say that, I just see the picture of what I've done and what I've seen so many other people do. You know, we just go into the try to fix ourselves mode.
Yeah, and most of the time that's what happens. We go into ourselves, or we back off from the church, and then we start blaming God for everything that's happened, when in essence it really wasn't God. Because if we look to him, I mean, scripture says, look to the hills from whence cometh our help. If we look to him for everything instead of putting him in a little box and only asking him for certain things or going to him when we think he's needed, then we wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, I love the fact that one of the things that when I have guests come on is just to, you know, sometimes I have topics, but, you know, this week you came up with your own topic, which I love also when guests come through and you want to talk about people who've been hurt by the church, pastor wives, children at risk. What are some examples? What are some things you've seen, how you've seen people in the church become hurt by members of the same church?
I really want to start with pastor's wives because okay. I'm a pastor's wife, and I know that because of the position, people look at us and they put us on a pedestal, and they think that the office or where we sit as a pastor's wife is something to be desired. They look at it as almost like, you know, celebrities. You know how you look at celebrities and you say, oh, man, I wish I was where they were. I had their money. But in the church world, we look at pastors' wives and pastors. We put them on pedestals and say they can't make any mistakes. They have to wear the perfect hat. They have to have the perfect outfit, the perfect shoes. And they put us in a box and stereotype us, and that's what we're supposed to be.
Right.
And we can't always do that. Sometimes we have problems, we have issues, you know, we have things that we have to deal with. But other people look at us as if we're perfect. And in that way, a lot of pastors' wives get hurt, especially in friendships and relationships.
Right.
Because a lot of times they're taken advantage of, and it becomes a place where they think that the pastor's wife has to tell them everything that's going on in the church or, you know, everything that happens, or they want to make a suggestion, and if their suggestion isn't taken, then they're offended. But, you know, a lot of times the pastor's wives have feelings, and they're in Christ. And when we ourselves, I want to just talk about us as a person. When we ourselves back off and we come to a place of isolation, then Christ can't use us and our gifts that we have to offer.
Right.
And because the pastor carries so much responsibility, we always need to be in a place of a helpmeet, just like the Bible says. And sometimes we have gifts of our own. So sometimes we can stand, and he knows those gifts, so that's why he put us together, so that we can work together. And in this way, the church it just, it grows and grows and grows. And the enemy knows if he can bring a wedge between that husband and wife and get that wife into a place of thinking that she's insecure and thinking that she's not needed, then she doesn't use her gifts for what God has given them to her for.
Wow. You know, that's so true. I think that it's almost like sometimes you feel like sometimes pastor wives can become, I guess there's a lot of pressure on you guys. There are a lot of pressures that you guys have to face, and it's almost like when people put you in that box, they don't expect you to ever move outside of that box.
Right, and they don't want us. You know, I'm one of these pastor's wives that I look to God for my answers. I look to God and my husband. I don't allow people's opinions to put me in a place that I can't do what God wants me to do. I dress in modesty, according to what my husband likes and to what I think God would approve of in modesty. So I'm not, you know, sometimes I guess I can get outside that dress that they say how pastor's wives should dress. I remember one time I went to a church and, you know, I felt kind of out of place because of the way I was dressed. I mean, I had nothing bad on. It was just that I guess I was more contemporary dressed and I had some loud colors on. But, you know, there were some statements that were made to me that if I wasn't secure in who I was, then I could have very well just been downtrodden and my heart would have just been broken.
Right.
But because I knew who I was in Christ, then I didn't allow that to affect me, and I went ahead and ministered the way that God had me to minister, and he did some great things.
Wow. You know, it's amazing, Pastor Bonnie, how people feel like they can just say anything and put their own, as long as you were respectable and you did not disgrace God or disgrace your husband or your church, they shouldn't have said anything if they had a problem with what you were wearing.
Right, but you know what, Greg? People are people. And if they don't have Christ and if they haven't been delivered, then they're going to say what they want to say. And you have to know where you stand in Christ, because that's how the enemy slips into the church. He slips in there through people because they're unaware of where they are in Christ, or they haven't come to the maturity level that they need to come to. So you have to help them get there. And you can't help them get there by telling them off or giving them stuff that's not going to help them. You have to help them grow still. So that's why you have to know where you are in Christ.
Now, you know, you're definitely giving some, some, I guess you could say steak. You know, some people give nuggets of truth. You're giving some steak right now, because I know that there are women of God and pastors' wives who might be actually listening right now. And my question for you, when it comes to, I guess, pastor wives being hurt by the church, what are some ways that pastor wives can, for those who are having problems as far as recognizing who they are in Christ, what are some tips that you could give them, some things that you could help encourage them to stay focused on God?
Well, one of the main things, I always encourage people to pray and stay in the Word, because that's where the Lord is going to reveal his truth to us and where he wants us to do, what his desires are for us are to do. And the enemy always gives us the lie that God doesn't want to hear from us or doesn't care about us. But that's why we have to stay in his Word and know who we are according to what his Word says we are. It says that we're heirs to the throne, and it's our birthright. He gives us authority over all things, and we have to know that. We got to know that it's no longer necessary that we pretend that hurts are not there. We have to deal with them.
Right. You know what? Yeah. I'm sorry.
And that's a couple of things that we have to do is stay in there. We have to pray. We have to know the voice of the Lord, and that's, you know, hurts are always going to come. As long as we're human, as long as we're alive, we're always going to be hurt. But we always have Christ to fall back on and give those hurts to him and leave them. And that's where we make the mistake. We don't leave them there. We say that we're going to give them to him, but as soon as we give them to him, we praise God, we thank him, and as soon as we come out of our closet, we pick them back up, put them back in our backpack, and take them with us.
You know what? That's so true, Pastor Bonnie. I remember some instances where I have prayed and said, Lord, I'm leaving this here, right here, then leave out of that prayer area, walk out the door, even just walk out the house, or even if I'm at church and praying, just walk out and the next thing you know, pick them back up, and then have the same hurt all over again because I really didn't give it to the Lord.
Yeah, and you know, you're always going to have hurts, and you even have scars from some of those hurts and past wounds. But, you know, God is gives us plenty of grace, and he can bring total healing to our hearts so that grace can take care of us.
Yes, you know what? God's grace is good. God's grace is good. And with that, I just want to say also, one of the things that stuck out to me was when you're talking about hurts. I think that sometimes, like you say, that sometimes in the church we feel like, oh, we're Christians, we're not supposed to hurt. So sometimes people turn a deaf ear. They don't want to hear their heart. They don't want to hear what they hear, what they're feeling. They don't want to acknowledge it or embrace that, hey, they're hurting. And I believe that we're in that place where God is requiring us to actually look at our hurts, look at what's really happening. Because, you know, we can't be freed unless we acknowledge that we're hurt, that we do need God.
That's exactly right. And you know, I know you've heard the term pain is gain, or pain help us to grow. And it does, because if we're content in where we are, then we'll never grow. But sometimes the Lord puts us in circumstances where we have to deal with them. And sometimes it's conflict that we don't want to deal with, but we have to deal with it, face it, and go on. A lot of times when we've been hurt, we allow those hurts to put us in bondage, and we carry those hurts for years and years. But if you allow the Lord to take those hurts from you, and you know, I know it's easy. People say it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. Just like the scripture says, the Lord throws our sins into a sea of forgetfulness, but we say that we'll forgive you, but we won't forget it.
Right.
And that's not how it goes. You have to be willing to leave those hurts and allow God to bring a healing to your heart, so that even when that hurt starts to evolve, then you can say, I already gave that to the Lord, and go on, instead of dwelling on it and meditating on it and staying there so that it continues to hurt you. Because if you don't do that, then you'll never get to the point of where God wants you to do. And then you're not touching those people that he has for you to touch. So then the enemy has you in his control.
Wow. Wow, I love when you said that. What stuck out to me was when you said willing. You have to be willing to leave those hurts. And sometimes it's like we play tug and war. God, here you go. No, I'm going to take it back, Lord. Here's that hurt. But say, you know what? I'm willing to actually let it go. And sometimes I think that sometimes we hold on to that hurt as a crutch because we're afraid to see what really God's going to do. Fear of the unknown.
It is. It is. And you said it right, too. It's fear. And sometimes we know that we're hurt, and we tell the Lord, I don't want to let it go. I want it to hurt for a minute. Just like sometimes when we get angry, we say, I don't want to forgive that person. The scripture says if you don't forgive them, then he's not going to forgive you.
Right.
So you have to learn. It's not an option. God doesn't give us an option to forgive. We have to forgive. It's a commandment. So we have to forgive. So you might as well enjoy it when you do it.
You know what? I love that what you're saying right now. You know, you just love it. It's a commandment. It's not like, hey, I want you to think about it if you want to forgive. No, that's not what God is saying, what Jesus says.
And you know what? When you let that hurt go, it is such a freedom. to be free from all of that. It's like the load of the world comes off of your shoulders, and you can do anything that Christ wants you to do. And that's what's so good about it. And you can only be hurt to the point that you allow it. Because I always tell some of the ladies that I talk to that your pride is what allows you to be hurt.
Wow. I think you said it right there, Pastor Bonnie, pride. You know, sometimes we have, within the church, we have that pride. It's like that pride of, as if we can't do any wrong. That pride that says that, I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, so therefore I'm perfect. And that's not the case. Like you said, that pride will really, really, can really damage our own selves, as well as causing us to inflict emotional pain or hurt other people in the church.
Yeah, and what happens is the hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. Because they're ministering out of their hurt and not out of the grace and the love of God.
Wow. Wow. That is something.
That's why it's so important to be healed and freed from hurt.
Wow. I'm just saying, I'm just so glad to have you here. What we're going to do is take a little break for 1 second, for a few minutes, and we'll come back. And I'm just thankful for the things that you're actually saying, because I think that people need to hear, that we have to be willing to let go of hurt and realize that in order to be free, we have to let that hurt go, so we can have freedom in Christ.
You're right.
So this is what I'm going to do. You guys, hold on tight. The number here is 646-595-4311. And Pastor Bonnie and I will be back in a few minutes. I'm going to play for you a track entitled Called for a Purpose for my cousin Eureka A. Wright.
Oh, Yes, I am forever.
Hey everybody, this is Corey George. Listen, for your weekly dose of inspiration, conversation, and motivation, make sure you tune into the Heart of Love radio show, hosted by my good friend, G. Wright, here on Block Talk Radio.
If you guys tuning in just now, this is G. Wright. The number here is 646-595-4311, and I have none other than the anointed and blessed Pastor Bonnie Johnson. Pastor Bonnie.
Yes.
I'm just in awe because I tell the audience this, that, you know, I've been under, you know, you and your husband's leadership, and I know that you guys are very effective in the ministry. So again, I am honored to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you're welcome. And and tonight we've been talking about people who have been hurt by the church, like pastor wives and children at risk, things like that. My next question for you is, what is your take on, the role of children being hurt in the church or by the church?
See, that right there is that's another subject in the church because, you know, we've got children in the church, and when we say that, we're talking about pastor's kids, deacon's kids, elder's kids, you know, those type of teenagers and young adults. And then on the other hand, you have kids that are outside of the church, have been raised in the neighborhood and are at risk, and, you know, they're fighting for their lives. And they all want the same thing. We did a We worked with a lot of kids outside the church, and we did a survey one time with all of our kids, and we asked them. We said, we asked them both which ones, what do they want? You know, the kids in the church, we did a survey. They said they wanted more freedom. They wanted to go here. They wanted to do this. And then the kids outside of the church said that they wanted more discipline, which I found very interesting. Because they just wanted to be loved by somebody and know that somebody loved them.
Wow.
But then when we bring them in the church looks at them like, you know, they don't want to have anything to do with them. They come in with their dreads or their baggy pants or you know, their skirts, mini skirts or straight leg, tight fitting jeans that, you know, sometimes show their thongs and... And the church don't want to have anything to do with them, but that's not the love of God.
Right.
You know, I often, because everybody uses fish, even in scripture, we talk about fishermen. And you have to catch the fish before you can clean them.
Yeah.
And then even when you are not the ones that are going to clean them, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that does the work. And when he does that work, it's like a work that can't be undone and won't be undone. It'll last forever, and we know that. So it's so different. It's different, but it's the same because the kids in the church want the same thing. They want to be loved. And I think sometimes we have to be careful because what happens is the church is we allow ministry to get in the way. We go here, we go there, and we're doing it for the ministry and the love of God. And sometimes that's to our detriment.
Right.
I know Dave, my husband and I used to travel quite a bit and ministering to teenagers and young adults all over the world. And then we had to decide we do not want to be ministering to all these other people's children and teens and young adults, and then our kids go to hell.
That's, wow. Yes.
So we had to make a decision, and we stopped traveling as much as we did. And when we did, we would always take one of them with us.
Wow.
We wanted them to be involved in ministry, and we wanted them to know what ministry was and what God was about. We didn't want just to come home and tell them of all the great deeds that we did and lose them at the same time and have them grow up hating the church like a lot of kids do. we had to not allow ministry to get in the way of the love of God for our children. And that's why I think today our children are with us in ministry. All of them are working with us in ministry. And it's their choice, not ours.
Mm. You know, one thing I love about you and Pastor David, I think you two are two of the realest people I know in ministry. You guys. You guys
sometimes.
Yes, you guys keep it real. You guys keep it real.
Well, we try to, you know, we try to be where the people are. We're not trying. It's, you know, I always tell people, when you see me in the church, I'm the same. When you see me outside of the church, I'm the same. I'm not going to not speak to you because I think you're somebody lower than I am. We're all on the same level as far as I'm concerned, and we all love God. That is the love of God. God didn't, when he walked among the people, he didn't say, you know, stay away from me or stand back. The disciples got a little upset sometimes when people got too close. But he won people with his love. And that's what we want to do. Even now, you know, sometimes we see some of these kids that we ministered to years ago, and they walk up to us and say, you don't remember me. I remember one time we were in Florida somewhere, and this young man walked up to us and said, do you remember me? And we said, no. You know, he's a young man. He was a young man in the service, and we were sitting in Hooters. And he said, I am so glad that you are not sitting here with a 40-ounce on your table, because when you ministered to me, I was in a conference, and you ministered to me, and I accepted Christ into my life, and I've been saved ever since. And he was in, I forget if it was the Army or the Navy, but it was one or the other. But it just helped me to realize that Christ is real and that we can go anywhere, and you never know who's going to walk up to you or who you affected.
Yes. Wow. You know, it's amazing. I have to say this. I have to go back to what you said, Pastor Bonnie, you know, I'm an educator, so I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher in the Maryland public school system. I've taken a year off this year to finish up my master's. But, you know, children outside, you know, the kids, young people outside of church, they definitely are looking for more discipline. They're definitely looking for more discipline.
Yeah, because they don't get it at home. They're allowed to do whatever they want to do. Or either they're raising themselves, or, you know, the parents are nowhere around. The parents are doing what they want to do. And it's just hard for them sometimes. I remember we used to have these drills that we did, and sometimes we'd make them get down and do push-ups. Well, come to find out later, when they got down to the push-ups, they were passing their guns to somebody else so they wouldn't fall out while they were on the floor. And that was funny to me, but they had to go back to their neighborhood, you know, and that's what they were used for protections. We didn't know it at the time, but, I mean, it just goes to show you that those kids want to be loved, and they're looking for help. They just need somebody to do it for them.
Yes. I have to say something else that stuck out to me is the point, the realization that you and Pastor David got to when you realize, you know, we're up here, we're ministering all over the world, and you don't want to make sure you wanted to make sure that your kids didn't go to hell, and you guys had to make that decision. You think that sometimes in a church there might be some fellow ministers in the church who possibly don't get that, or they ignore their own family and their kids and get involved in the ministry?
I do believe that sometimes it is in the ministry and it causes problems. I think that has a lot to do with why a lot of young adults miss their call because there's so many. Most of the time when a pastor and his wife are called to ministry, their children are called as well. But you have to kind of help them along. You have to guide them along, and you can't force them. That's why I mentioned that even when we moved to California, we let our children know, and they're adults. We let our children know that we had to move because that's the call that the Lord gave to my husband to move to California. So we had to do it whether we wanted to do it or not. But we gave them the opportunity to minister, come and help us minister in California. We didn't force them. We told them not to force their wives, but we gave them the opportunity to come. And I think a lot of times if you don't train your children and love your children into Christ, not force it on them, you have to love them into Christ. They will follow you with all of their heart and help you because they love God.
Wow. You know, that's so amazing. You know, you guys are so awesome. I think it's just a blessing that you guys have your children in ministry with you guys.
Yeah, I don't know what I would have done if my children would have stayed in Georgia.
So you're praying too, right?
I was praying hard. But it's difficult sometimes for pastors to look at where they are in ministry, and because it's very challenging in ministry. You know, it's a lot of things to deal with. You're dealing with married couples. You're dealing with single men and single women and children that are hurt. So you have a lot of things to look at, but you've got to remember that your family comes first after God. Because if you love God and you ask God to direct you and give you wisdom, he's going to show you that your family is important. And your family is going to help you minister. The God uses the bride and the bridegroom as examples. So that's the family to the world. So we got to have our family in order, because people are going to look at your family and they want to know, well, how did you do that? How did you get your children to love God? You know, sometimes I talk to parents and I listen to them and I say, well, if you don't teach your child to love God, then what is he going to do? If they tell me they love God and they're serving God, well, when you're not around, what does your child do? When he's in a jam or when he's in a position where he needs help, who does he go to? He has nobody to go to. It's
right.
A difference in being a friend and being a parent. The Bible says raise the child in the way in which he should go. And you always come back to it. Always.
Wow. I have to say this. The fact that you said the family, that hit a chord within me, because I've relocated back up to the D.C. area. So now I'm closer to my family. My mom was sick for a minute. She's better now. But I'm living in Maryland, so I'm pretty close to D.C. And the whole thing about the family unit is so important. You know, we have to, if we say we're in Christ, but it's great to embrace your church family, but you have to embrace your biological family as well.
Yeah, you know, all of my family is here in California. And I live a life of Christ in front of them. Some of my siblings are saved and some are not. But whenever they have problems or situations, they always come to us because they know that we know God. And I believe that my family is going to, all of them are going to be saved because the Bible promises us that. And he says that he'll give us the desires of our heart. He told us to ask the hard things and he'll do it. We just have to have the faith that it's going to be done.
Wow.
And I tell you what, Greg, since I've been in California, my faith has really been stretched.
What ways can you share?
Well, you know, since we've come back, we've had to depend on Christ. We came back, we started from scratch. neither one of us was working. So none of our family was working. So now we have not lacked anything since we've been here, and we've been here for 5 years. All of my children have jobs. All of them have their own houses. They're doing better than what they were doing in Georgia.
Amen. Yes, yes.
So God has been good to us, and he's done everything that he promised and more.
Wow. I'm so excited because I think that so many of us are really, really depending on God to really lead us through this period. And I believe, like I said, a readjustment. God is, you know, in my life, something similar. You know, I took off from teaching for the year to focus on grad school, and I'm graduating in May. I'm graduating in May.
And
thank you. And God's just been good, you know. I'm just been standing on the promises of God, and he told me he would take care of me, and I haven't worked a traditional job in over a year.
And you know what? We have to stand on God's promises to us. We can't allow people to take away our dreams that God has given us. God has given us everything that we needed. He's instilled within us what we needed. We just have to believe it. And every time that we say that we can't do this or we can't do that, then we're telling God he's a liar. Because he said he's already given us everything that we needed.
Amen. That's it. And I'm seeing it happen in my life, and I'm just looking back and saying, you know, wow, I had a great time, great 16, 17 years in Georgia, and now I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm back here, and I love Georgia, but I just knew that it was time for a change. I knew something was happening. So I just expect God to open up doors that way.
But, yeah, and he will open up the doors that needs to be. You know, even when I pray, I don't ask for just, you know, asking to give me that or give me that. I ask for divine opportunities and favor with God and man. Because that's where we're going to get it, because of him. And whenever we need something, if we look to him and know that he's going to give it to us, then it's different than knowing and hoping that he's going to give it to us. We really have to believe God that that's what's going to happen. Just like when you pick something up off of the table, you pick it up, you know you're going to grab it. So that's the same thing, that when you grab something from God, you hold on to it and you don't let go of it. So that's what my husband had us get some boxes and wrap them in the best wrapping paper that we can get and put bows on them and just make them look fabulous. And he said he wanted us to carry those gifts around from us to help us remind us that we have a gift from God. And that God will supply everything. And when people look at those gifts, and we can tell them this is our gift from God, and we can explain to him what our gift is as far as our life is concerned, how he has graced us, how he has kept us, how he has given us everything that we needed, how we have not lacked anything. You know, he said that he will rain upon us from his barns in heaven.
Yes,
and that's
yes.
What he's done. You know, we take those scriptures when he says he'll supply everything that we need according to his riches and glory. We don't take that literally, but I've learned to take that literally and understand that he will supply everything that I need. He's done it for us in the last 5 years.
Amen. I love that whole thing that the story, the illustration that you said, Pastor David said. That's a good way to think about it. Get a couple boxes, wrap them up with a bow, and carry them around with us.
Yep. Because every time you see that box, it'll remind you of God's gift.
You know what? I know I'm blessed, and I know that in the chat room, people are blessed, and I know that some of my friends who are listening right now to the show, they're blessed. And if you're tuning in, you're listening to the Hard Love Radio Show. I'm G. Wright, and my guest is the phenomenal and anointed Pastor Bonnie Johnson, from the Restoration Church out in Sacramento, right?
In Elk Grove, California.
Elk Grove, California. And, you know, I have an uncle who actually lives in San Fernando Valley. So I'm not sure how far that is from you.
Yeah, that's a little ways from me.
But, you know, I'm going to try and tell him to come to your church. But definitely when I come to L.A., when I come up to L.A. to visit my family out there, I'm definitely going to try to make some plans to come out there to see you guys.
Well, you'll have to do that, Greg. And I just want to say for all those people that are hurting, give it to God and let it stay there. And just watch how your life flourishes and how your countenance changes and how people are attracted by you.
Amen, amen. You know what? For those who are listening, I know people are having a whole bunch of questions, but one of my friends said, he said, you guys are preaching right in front of my backyard. And so I'm definitely blessed, and we're blessed that you're here today. And you guys are in for a treat come next Thursday, same time. Pastor Bonnie Johnson will be joined by her husband, Pastor David Johnson. You know, and God, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say he's one of the greatest preachers that they've never heard.
Listen, you guys are in for a treat. Listen, Pastor. Listen, these are two of the realest ministers I know, pastors I know. You guys are going to be touched, and they're going to keep it real. So I hope you guys definitely tune in next week. You know, I want to say thank you again for coming on the show tonight, Pastor Bonnie. Do you guys have a website or a Facebook link that they can go to?
We do have a Facebook link. It's called the Restoration Church. And we have our information on that Facebook site. We're still in progress on our website. So if anybody's interested, we worship at Arlene Hine Elementary School in Elk Grove, California. And we have service at 10:30 every Sunday morning.
Amen, amen. I appreciate you coming in on again. Do you have any last-minute words for those people just coming in who maybe haven't listened to the show? Do you have any last-minute words you'd like to tell them before we go?
I just want to see people restored to the Lord. I want them to leave everything about the church in the church. And if they go, you know, you can't stay away from church because it says that you should fellowship with the saints. And when they need to find a church that they where they love the people, they love the word, and most of all that they love God, because that's the one that's going to keep them. They don't have to worry about other people, what they say, what they think, what they do. Just love God. And they can't do it by themselves. Sometime or other, they're going to need some people with skin on them. So they've got to build relationships. So that's what I have, my advice to people, is to find somebody that can walk with you as well.
Thank you so much. You've given us a steak dinner with potatoes, the vegetables, candy yams, cake, everything.
I like those good old Southern dinners too.
You have given us some meat today, and I just want to say, pray God's blessings over you and your husband and your ministry.
Thank you.
And I look forward to actually talking with you guys again, with you and Pastor David next Thursday at the same time.
I'm looking forward to it, Greg, and I'm sure my husband is too. He has a lot to offer, so he'll talk a lot more than I will, I'm sure.
Listen, you've done a great job, and I appreciate you, and I just want to everyone appreciates you. Everyone here who's listening, people are enjoying it, and they're getting a word from this, from you and from the show. So I just want to say thanks again.
Great. Thank you.
God bless. And you guys, before we go today, I just want to leave you with Dorinda Clark Cole's Turn It Around, because God can turn it around. You know, give your hurt to the Lord. And I pray that the words that Pastor Bonnie Johnson has spoken has encouraged your heart as well as it's encouraged my own. I just want to say God bless you. Now, see you again this coming Tuesday from 9 to 10. And I'll have a word from the Lord from you for you guys. So make sure you guys tune in. God bless.
Yeah.